Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, very blessed Holy Week to you. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Monday of Holy Week. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we have quite a week lined up for you. I think you'll enjoy the shows this week. Today, especially good. Second hour, Rose Sweet will be in here. And you know, Rose, it's always good when Rose is around. This hour, we're going to have an open forum all hour for those of you who are non-Catholic. If you're a non-Catholic and you got a question about Catholics, give us a call this hour, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If it's a tough question, if you feel like you might upset us because of the difficulty of the question, don't even worry about it. We're welcoming all questions from non-Catholics this hour. Our guest this hour is Patrick Madrid. Patrick hosts the popular Patrick Madrid Show mornings on Relevant Radio. He also wrote and hosted several EWTN television series, including Pope Fiction, Search and Rescue, and Where Is That in the Bible? And he's authored or edited upwards of 25 books. Patrick Madrid, thank you again for being with us.
Oh, gosh, Cy. Thanks for having me back in on the program. It's always great.
Well, you notice I didn't mention any of your books. Usually I try to mention a few of them, but I thought today instead I'll start with a quiz. I'm going to say the name of a book.
Okay.
And I want you to say, I wrote it or I didn't write it. I want to see if you remember which books are yours and which are not. All right. Think you can do it?
I'll try.
All right. Theology and Sanity.
Did not write that. I had to stop. No, I didn't write that. Frank Sheed wrote that.
Frank Sheed was
one of my favorite books.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You had to pause to remember whether you had written it or not.
I know I've recommended it like a billion times. Yeah. It's a wonderful book.
Right.
I wish I had written it, but I didn't.
Right. Why Be Catholic?
I wrote that.
You did. You did indeed write that.
Yeah.
How about Crossing the Threshold of Hope?
Did not write that.
You did not? Do you know the man who did
that?
That
was a George Weigel book. Biography of Pope John Paul II, wasn't it?
What's his call? His is called Something of Hope. But that Crossing the Threshold of Hope is Pope John Paul II's book.
Oh.
He wrote that.
I was thinking George Weigel.
What was Weigel's book? What is it, Darren? Oh, Darren's going to come in here and tell me.
Yeah,
all right.
He's going to correct you. Or me, one of the two of us.
All right. Well, then try to remember who wrote this one. Life Lessons, 50 Things I Learned in My First 50 Years.
Patrick Madrid wrote that.
Patrick.
That much I know.
Yes. All right. Okay. True Devotion to Mary. Did you write that one?
No. Louis de Montfort wrote that book.
He even has a title before his first name now.
Blessed Louis de Montfort.
Oh, I thought he was Saint Louis de Montfort. I thought he was
maybe Saint. I mean, I can't keep up. You're embarrassing me now because I
feel
keep
terrible.
Up with all this detail. No, it's okay.
Sorry, but Witness to Hope was George Weigel's. Darren.
There it is.
Yeah, that's an extraordinary book, man.
That's right.
Weigel's like you, I think. He puts out quite a large number of books, and they're all of very high quality.
He does, but the difference between George Weigel's books and mine is his are like 1,400 pages long, and mine are like 200 pages long. So there's a difference right there.
I'm going to name some others of your books. How to Do Apologetics, okay. Pope Fiction, Search and Rescue, Does the Bible Really Say That, and many, many more. And you can learn about it all at patrickmadrid.com. Patrick, you did really well, though. You remembered which books were yours and which were not. I'm very impressed with
that. That's true. I'm doing okay so far.
Yeah. And you were, I mean, the Weigel thing, that was close. But you knew, I mean, I'm very impressed you knew Louis de Montfort, True Devotion to Mary.
That's a very good book, very important book.
Yeah. And then Father, what's his name? Is it McGivney that took he wrote a book called 33 Days Till Morning Glory, where he kind
no,
of.
No, that's Father. Oh, gosh. If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Yeah, of course. Now Darren's
it'll come to me. I can picture the cover of the book. No, that's a very good book in preparation for the Marian consecration.
Right. And Louis de Montfort was the one who Michael Gately. Okay.
Gately. There we go.
Know. McGivney is probably a heretic or something. I don't know.
Father McGivney started the Knights of Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where I got confused.
He's a big name, but in a different way.
He is indeed. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, but you are not a Catholic and you'd like to know something about what Catholics believe, why Catholics believe that, what we Catholics do, or why we do those things, we are more than happy to take your call. Patrick Madrid, you probably couldn't get a better day to come with your question either, because Patrick has been doing this a long time and will be able to help you. Whether your question is a tough one or an easy one, 888-318-7884, the number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. Calls already coming in. Patrick, I don't know. Do you want to go to calls or?
Yes, shall please. Sir. May I have some more?
All right. We'll go to Chris in New Bedford, Massachusetts, listening on 88.5. Chris, you are on with Patrick Madrid. Your question, please.
Good evening, sir. I was wondering, does God eventually forgive those who have been condemned to hell?
Short answer, no. He does not. Once we leave this life and we pass from time into eternity, the opportunity for grace and forgiveness, repentance, that ends. And once we enter into eternity, our decision is irrevocable, either for God or against God. So when a soul leaves this life in the state of grace, henceforth and forever, that soul will be happy with God in heaven, maybe with a little time in purgatory first to purify. But sadly, when somebody leaves this life in the state of mortal sin, a willful rejection of God's grace, that's what Jesus referred to when he talked about the unforgivable sin. So if somebody ends his life in that state of mortal sin, then no, he won't be forgiven in the life to come because it's too late for that. Now it's mercy in this life, but at that point it's justice, and he will receive what he deserves at that point.
Chris?
So my question. But my question also is like, but is that a loving, caring God? Because if, say, there are people that have achieved enlightenment that they get to pass on with God at the end of time, mm-hmm. get to travel them, you know, with him for the rest of time in bliss, how does that reflect on God to leave the other humans behind just because they did not repent for sin, only for the simple fact is that they're human or they didn't have it in them? Mm-hmm. To repent at the time.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, keep in mind, I think the answer is found in the incarnation. Keep in mind, Jesus is human also. He's true God and true man. And Jesus specifically says in Mark chapter 16, now I don't know if you're a believer or not, but assuming that you at least recognize the Bible as authoritative, Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And he's very clear on this issue. Whenever the question comes up about leaving this life in the state of serious sin, Jesus pronounces that that's it, the opportunity for grace is over. So, and it has more to do, really, with the nature of time that we exist in now and the way eternity is permanent in a way that we don't really experience here, because we can change our minds, we can repent, we can come back, we can sin again. Once we leave this life, an analogy that I use that may be helpful to you, I like to think of it as kind of wet cement during this life, where you can press your handprints into the wet cement and it will receive your handprint because it's not set up yet. So you can put your handprints, or you could write the date or put your name in the concrete before it sets up. But once it sets up, you can press your hands on that concrete all you want and it will not receive your handprint because it's now fixed. And in the same kind of way, the eternity is permanent, so that it's not so much that God says, okay, I'm turning my back on you, but your opportunity to change has finished now. And it's an eternal, unequivocal, permanent, decisive decision. And like the old saying goes, some people, they quote the line from the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Well, the sad thing is that at the end of this life, if somebody says no to God, God says, thy will be done. If this is what you insist on, then so be it. So it's not God doing something wrong. It's human beings who say, I don't want God. And then when they find themselves moving from time into eternity, their decision is permanent.
But God does not have in him the capacity to forgive them even after they see that, you know, they're going to suffer for eternity in purgatory?
Well, God can only do the things that are consistent with his nature. And he's an all-loving God. He's also all-just. And so justice is part of this, and so when somebody says that a permanent no, God respects that person's freedom and says, all right, if it's no, it's no. Is that your final offer? If it's no, all right, I'll respect that. It's not God doing anything unloving. It's God respecting the free will of the person who says no to him.
Chris, we have to leave it there. I hope that that was helpful to you. 888-318-7884 is our number. It is an open forum for non-Catholics today. If you are not a Catholic and you have a question about the Catholic faith, even if the question is a little bit challenging, we welcome it. Patrick Madrid is our guest. Patrick hosts The Patrick Madrid Show, mornings on Relevant Radio, and he's been in this apologetics. But how long is it now, Patrick? I mean, maybe you don't want to say how long, but it's been...
You're afraid I'll date myself. Actually, my anniversary of working at Catholic Answers is 30 years ago this year.
Wow.
And so I'm into my 31st year now as being involved in apologetics. It's hard to believe. I started when I was five. And it's gotten this far so quickly. It's
you
amazing.
Were a very precocious child.
I was the youngest hire Carl Keating ever made.
Really? And the impressive thing is how much it has all grown in those years. It's been extraordinary what has happened in Catholic media That's and Catholic true. Apologetics.
Oh, my gosh. And just Catholic Answers alone. I mean, when I was doing the work I was doing with Carl and at that time Mark Brumley and a few of the other really early birds, there were no websites, obviously. It was way before then. There were really no conferences to speak of. Catholic Answers came out with the first apologetics conference in January of 1990. So we didn't have many of the great things that Catholic Answers went on to do, certainly not the radio program and the publishing unit and everything. But I like to think of, in those days, Si, we were like the laborers with the wheelbarrows full of cement. We were pouring the concrete for the foundation. And I feel good that we had a chance to pour that foundation because upon that foundation, so many wonderful and important things have risen. All the different stories of Catholic Answers have risen. So it was a humble beginning, but it went on to very great things. The really important things happened after I was there, but I'm glad to have been a part of it.
Well, foundations are kind of important, Patrick.
Especially if you live on the 10th floor, right?
Yeah, right. 888-318-7884, our number. 888-318-7884. If you are a non-Catholic, we're welcoming any question a non-Catholic might have about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church. Give us a call. We'll be right back with more. Patrick Madrid on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com, or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Open forum for non-Catholics this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Patrick Madrid is our guest. I am Cy Kellett, your host. The number again, 888-31-TRUTH. I did want to mention before we go to calls, and callers, hang on, we're going to get to you, and we'll get to probably to everybody if we time permitting. You got this thing coming up this summer that I was just checking the website out, Real Love, Real Life in Orange County. What's that all about, Patrick?
Oh, I'm really excited about this, Cy. Thanks for mentioning it. It is a gathering for Catholic adults, and we say young adults, but we also put the word young in quotation marks. If you want to come to a weekend event where you're going to get fed intellectually, spiritually, socially, there will be humor. Patrick Coffin will be there to do some magic and give a talk. We'll have concerts. We'll have a lot of things. It's all spelled out at reallovereallife.com. I know there are many people who are still searching for a good Catholic husband or wife. This is a perfect opportunity to meet like-minded people who are also on the same journey. It's for Catholic singles and Catholic marrieds. There will be a variety of people there. But the main thing is it's going to be an event unlike any other that I've seen before, where we'll pull together this whole experience for the body, the mind, and the soul to help really propel Catholics in a stronger, more vibrant direction of their faith. And as you mentioned, all of it is spelled out at reallovereallife.com. And it will be in Anaheim. It's going to be at the Anaheim Embassy Suites the weekend of August the 3rd through the 5th. It's an all-inclusive event. So everything that we're doing there is all included as part of that. There's a video. You can watch the video. You can share it with your friends, let them know. But I'm very excited about this. Bishop James Wall, who is the Bishop of Gallup, New Mexico, a wonderful preacher and teacher, he will be among the people who will be speaking there. I'll be there. Patrick Coffin, Jackie Francois will be there. We have too many things for me to go into in detail now, Cy, but yeah, Everything is available for them to see, for everyone to take a look at reallovereallife.com.
Yeah, nothing else to do there in Anaheim, though. It's kind of a dull spot.
Yeah, if people want to make a longer weekend, they could take in Disneyland. We will be having optional surfing lessons and
Christ Cathedral is worth going over to see too. You can't go inside of it right now, but the Cathedral of the Diocese of Orange is worth seeing, worth going over to see that campus.
And that's a hop, skip, and a jump away from this venue,
which is now also called an Uber. The same as a hop.
That's true.
Hop, skip, and a jump. Let's go to Allison in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Allison, it is an open forum for non-Catholics. You are talking to Patrick Madrid. Your question, please. Allison?
Oh, yes. Okay. I was calling, and I was hoping you could explain dogma to me and kind of I was also wondering about the different Marys, and if you could give me a brief explanation, like if you believe that how many Marys that they talk about in the Bible. And,
do you mean the biblical figures named Mary in the Gospels?
Yes, like not only the sisters Mary, but the other Marys.
Mary Magdalene.
I can
do that.
Okay, let's start with dogma, if we can.
Okay, right. Yeah, dogma is in Catholic parlance, the word dogma refers to a doctrine that has been formally defined by the Church. Most typically, that would be done in the form of an ecumenical council. And sometimes, rarely, but sometimes it's done by a pope who's defining a dogma. We call it ex cathedra. That's from Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus, referring to the scribes and Pharisees, he says that that the apostles must not follow their example, but do what they say, because they have taken their seat on the chair, the cathedras of Moses. So the term ex cathedra in Latin refers to that passage in Matthew chapter 23, referring to the chair that symbolizes authority, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So a dogma, again, is a proclamation that a doctrine has been formally defined so that there's no ambiguity, no opportunity for error or confusion. Now, in the Greek, the word dogma, it simply means a decree. And this is a term that you see in ancient Greek, well before the time of the New Testament. And so in passages where the word dogma appears, so for example, in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, and forward, we see reference to the dogma, the teachings of the church, and that term kind of passed into Catholic usage to refer specifically to doctrines that have been formally declared. And one final point, a doctrine is true, let's say the doctrine of the Trinity, true from the word go, it's always been true, but it wasn't until the year 325 at the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, the first Council of Nicaea, that it was defined as a dogma by the council. So it doesn't mean that it's somehow more true or more important. It just means that it's been formalized. Does that make sense?
That, because, you know, if it is called or considered a dogma, then you must accept that and it can never be taken away.
Right. It's part of the deposit of faith. It's part of the revealed truth that God has given us. And the thing is about a dogma is that prior to a kind of defined teaching that the church might give, there could be some, I don't know, latitude perhaps that maybe one opinion or one understanding of this is correct and the other is incorrect. But take, for example, the Arian heresy that beset the church in the 3rd century and into the 4th century. That's why that Council of Nicaea was convened, was a way to deal with that, because people were wondering, is Jesus really God? Is he like a super being? Is he a man only? Is he God and man? What is he exactly? The Arians were saying that Jesus was not truly God. And so the council convened to make sure that it was really clear so that there would be no ambiguity. In fact, it actually settled upon a single term, homoousios, which means of the same substance. And the Arians, they were trying to promote a term very similar to that called homoiousios, which means of similar substance, to say that Jesus was not really truly God, homoousios, but he was similar to God, homoiousios. And you can see it pivoted on a single vowel. So that's how seriously the early church and the church even today takes this kind of thing.
Allison, thanks. Patrick, how about the different Marys in the New Testament?
Yes. Well, the main Marys that we see, for example, in John chapter 19 at the foot of the cross, would be certainly, first of all, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. Also, she seems to have had a close kinswoman, could have been a sister, could have been a cousin, could have been a niece, could have been an aunt. Her name also was Mary. And she's designated as Mary, the wife of Clopas or Cleophas or Alphaeus. He went by, his name went by different spellings. And she was the mother of James and Joseph, who are mentioned in Matthew chapter 13 as brothers of the Lord. So she would have been perhaps the Lord's aunt or perhaps his cousin or some such relationship. And then also we see Mary Magdalene, and Mary was the woman that we read about in Scripture. In fact, we just had the reading of the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and anointed his feet with spikenard and dried his feet with her hair. She too was at the foot of the cross. We can see all of them mentioned in John chapter 19.
Allison, again, I'll say thanks very much for that call. I'm going to keep moving, though, because there's lots of people who want to talk to Patrick. It's an open forum for non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live today. If you have a question about us Catholics, all questions are welcome as long as you're not Catholic. Today we go to Kevin in Auburn, New York. Kevin, you are on with Patrick Madrid. Your question, please.
Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
We can, yeah.
Okay. So I was raised in the Catholic Church, baptized, went through First Communion, and then I was born again and was baptized by immersion, and that's the faith I carry on. So what does the Catholic Church think of my conversion and my belief now?
All right, Kevin, Patrick Madrid here. First of all, we hope and pray that the day will come when you will come back to the Catholic Church. And I begin by offering you that invitation. I don't know if anyone's ever invited you to come home, but let me be the first, if not. The Catholic Church does not say that you have been excommunicated. That's a canonical penalty that's reserved for certain canonical crimes or delicts, as they're called in canon law. Unless you have done something specific like helped a woman get an abortion, paid for an abortion, encouraged an abortion. I mean, there's certain canonical crimes like that that one could commit that would result in excommunication, short of the church formally proclaiming that you are excommunicated, but I doubt that those things have happened. But you are separated from the church, that's for sure, and it wouldn't take much to come back. I mean, if you wanted to come back to the Catholic Church, I mean, that may not be something you're thinking of, but if it ever were to happen, you would need to come back to the Catholic Church in a formal way, make a profession of faith, typically at an Easter Vigil Mass. And I realize that's not the question you're asking per se, but I just want to offer that as, by way of invitation, if the day should come that you'd like to come back home.
Okay. So am I, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in the Trinity. So does the Catholic Church still believe that I'm saved?
The Catholic Church would say that you are a baptized Christian by virtue of your baptism. And therefore, and by the way, that's when you were born again the Bible way. If you're talking about being born again scripturally, John chapter 3 and what Jesus says, that refers to the being born again the Bible way through the sacrament of baptism. But we would regard you as a separated brother in Christ, and we hope you'll come home.
Kevin, thanks very, very much for the call. Lots more calls to come during this open forum for non-Catholics this hour. Patrick Madrid is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more open forum for non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take you on an exploration of the crucial social and theological issues surrounding the encyclical and try to answer questions about the theological core of the issue of contraception, possible limits of the document's teaching, what led the Pope to issue the encyclical, and so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum for non-Catholics. That means anybody can call who, maybe you, well, we've had callers who have left the practice of the Catholic faith. We have had callers who are atheists. We have callers who we're not exactly sure what their background is. All that's welcome. You don't have to share anything personal with us. Just if you've got a question about the Catholic faith, something you're curious about, maybe something that bothers you. Maybe it's an obstacle you're facing as you consider whether or not to come into the Catholic faith. All of that is welcome. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Patrick Madrid, a long time in this. Actually, I feel bad now. I keep saying long time. It's making it sound like you're an old, old man. But yeah, he is an old, old man, actually. A long time. That's not
I'm right. Thinking of that Neil Young song. Old man, look old at man. My life.
Right.
Exactly. I'm a lot like you were.
Yeah. Author of 25 books and a bunch of TV shows and radio shows. And I've been doing this for a long time and happy to take your call. Don't worry. There's nothing's going to upset us. If you've got the question, we'd love to do our very best to get you the answer. Philip in Texas listening on 1430 AM. You are on with Patrick Madrid. Philip, your question.
My question is, out of all the different religions,
in the world, how are you certain that Catholicism is true religion?
I don't know if everybody could hear that, so I'm just going to repeat it. So of all the different religions in the world, how can you know that Catholicism is the true religion?
That's such a, that's really the question of all questions that one could ask. So thank you, Philip, for that. For me, I peg everything on Jesus and his claims. Jesus, unlike Moses, unlike Muhammad, unlike the Buddha, unlike anybody in recorded history who went on to found what we would think of as a world religion, only Jesus claimed to be God himself and then backed it up with unbelievable teaching and miracles. And the icing on the cake, so to speak, is the fact that he predicted that he would die and that he would rise again from the dead. And he did. And there were witnesses to his resurrection who were willing to die for something that if it weren't really true, maybe you could find somebody somewhere who would be addled enough that they would be willing to die for something that they thought was true but really wasn't. But there's really no way to account, humanly speaking, for hundreds and even thousands of people being willing to die for something that they knew deep down inside wasn't true. So you have, first of all, the apostles and the various disciples and others who were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. They spoke to him. They ate with him. They felt his body in some cases, like St. Thomas. And to a man, to a woman, they were willing to die when necessary, if under persecution, because they were not willing to recant that Jesus rose from the dead. That's very powerful to me. And as I consider the historical evidence for this historical figure, Jesus, and the teachings, and the fact that he not only claimed to rise from the dead, but the eyewitnesses say that he did rise from the dead. When you start putting the whole picture together, it by far, in my view anyway, transcends the wisdom of, say, Confucius or the wisdom of some other major religious figure. It goes so far beyond that. And Jesus says things like, before Abraham was, I am. He identified himself as God. And the crowds, in some instances, wanted to kill him because they thought he was blaspheming God by using that divine name, I am, is how we'd say it in English. They picked up stones to kill him. So he was not only very clear and explicit that he is God, but also the people around him knew that that's what he was claiming. And so all of it taken together, and I only have a few moments, so I'll have to be very truncated, but all of it taken together, when you consider the case for Christ, I have no other option but to believe that he is God based on the evidence and in faith accept that and then follow him as my Lord and Savior. That's why I choose the Catholic faith, because I see similarly that it was the Catholic Church that Jesus established. He didn't start Calvary Chapel. He didn't start the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. He didn't start the Jehovah's Witnesses. He didn't start Good Book Baptist. He didn't start any of those organizations. The one church that can trace its existence historically with an unbroken chain of evidence from the present day back to the time of Jesus is the Catholic Church. And as an aside, we do include the Eastern Orthodox churches in that claim. So for me, the evidence is overwhelming. And that's why personally, I believe the Catholic Church is the only choice when it comes to what religion to follow.
Philip, we had a little bit of a rough connection, but if we can hear you, I'll give you a follow-up.
Okay, thank you.
Did you want to say anything, Philip, in response?
No, just if you recommend any kind of resources for somebody who doesn't currently believe.
Yes, and I do appreciate you asking about that, Philip. Thank you. I would recommend a couple things. Number one, read the four Gospels. If you have a chance, just sit down and just read your way through the four Gospels, beginning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And there you're going to encounter Jesus face to face. You'll hear what he has to say. You'll understand his teaching. Then you might want to graduate to a book by Peter Kraft. It's called The Philosophy of Jesus. And that is really a very helpful kind of overview of the teachings of Jesus for your evaluation. You can consider and say, does this ring true to me or not? You might also want to read another book by Peter Kraft. It's called Jesus Shock. And that does a little bit more specific focus on the doctrines and things. If you're interested in a history of the Catholic Church, I wrote a book that gives you kind of a brief overview. It's called Why Be Catholic? That ties in with the message and the person of Jesus. It was published by Doubleday. Just look it up online, Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. And that's my personal contribution to trying to answer the question that you're asking about, well, if Jesus is God, then how do we know what kind of church he founded? And how do we locate that church? I give you my perspective on why I believe that's the Catholic Church.
Philip, I'm going to say thank you there. And also just let you know, we do open forum for anyone every Tuesday and Thursday. So if you ever want to call back as you investigate these things and have a question you'd like to ask, please continue to call. We look forward to it. Marsha in Houston, Texas, also listening on 1430 AM. You are on with Patrick Madrid. Marsha, your question.
Good day. I've been listening to Catholic radio for a while, and I heard a program last week where there was the subject of evolution, and the answer to that via the Catholic faith was, is my understanding, that you leave that decision up to the individual to make, whether to believe in evolution or not. And that's just so contrary to what I understand that I wanted to hear that again, to try to understand how that works.
That's a great question, Marsha. Thank you. Patrick Madrid here. Well, first of all, let's just say this, that we as Catholics, we believe that revelation is imparted to us in two major categories. We have what's called natural revelation. Natural revelation comprises the universe, the cosmos, and everything in it that points us to God. In fact, St. Paul talks about that, how he says that nobody can really deep down inside claim that God doesn't exist. And I know some people are rolling their eyes saying, well, I deep down inside say that God doesn't exist. But St. Paul's point is, there's sufficient evidence in the cosmos, in nature, all around us that points to the existence of not just God, but also a good and loving and personal God. And so natural revelation is the domain of science. And science can tell us things about what we can study, what our senses can apprehend. The second category is divine revelation. So that would include apostolic tradition, the Holy Bible, and most of all, and most fully of all, would be Jesus Christ and his fullness of revelation that he brought with him in his own person. So let's just look for a minute at natural revelation. Science is a tool that we can use and we should use to determine the truth of physical things. And so to the extent that science is able to determine the truth about natural processes or how things came into existence, we should listen to science and we should heed its findings. It's part of our ability to understand natural revelation. And with regard to evolution, the Catholic Church does not take a hard and fast position and say that it's this or that. Rather, what the Church says is that, number one, we must remember that God is the progenitor of everything that exists, either directly or indirectly. So God created the universe. He spoke it into existence, you might say, out of nothing. And then through secondary and tertiary causes, other things come into existence. But God is the source of everything that exists, ultimately. And the Catholic Church is really clear that at a certain point in history, and we don't know, it seems that science can give us a lot of information on this, but we don't know with exactitude how long ago exactly this all started. But at a certain point, God created our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were real historical characters. They really did live. They really did have a fall in which they sinned against God. And we do hold that, and the Catholic Church emphasizes that we must hold that to be true. But at the same time, the Church says that there is freedom to understand the Bible, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, for example, that talk about the creation. We have latitude. We have freedom to understand that in maybe a more literal way or a more allegorical way. But the main thing is that God is the source of everything. Adam and Eve were real people, and everything follows from that. And then as we sit back and see what science can tell us, we also have a kind of corrective so that we don't wind up accepting an idea or a theory or something that may be at variance with revealed truth. We continue searching for ways to reconcile faith and reason, as John Paul II put it.
Marsha?
Uh-huh.
Does that help you?
Well, it's pretty much what I heard the other day. So it does clarify that. It puts my mind at rest because, okay, that is what I heard. So okay. I will still mull that over. But I do love your program, and it gives me great inspiration, and you have such grace
with each and every person you'll talk to. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, Marcia, that's very, very kind. That means a lot, more than I can tell you. Thank you so much. And please feel free to call again anytime. We do appreciate it. We do have to take a break, however. We'll be right back with more Patrick Madrid and Open Forum for Non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Baer, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people. I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Patrick Madrid is our guest this hour. Next hour, Rose Sweet will be here. We're going to talk about divorce and annulment and the myths that many Catholics hold about divorce and annulment. That'll be next hour. This hour, we're taking your calls. If you're not Catholic and you got a question about the Catholic faith, it's an open forum for non-Catholics. We'll go now to Bruce in Bloomington, Illinois, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Bruce, your question for Patrick Madrid.
Yes, thank you. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Mormon Church. I have a lot of Catholic friends. I enjoy listening to Catholic radio and have learned a lot about what the Catholics believe, which is very close in many ways to what the Mormons believe. My question is about sexual activity outside of marriage. The university I went to, Brigham Young University, a Mormon school, about 30,000 kids, has an honor code that requires that students, staff, faculty sign up to agree to not drink and smoke and use drugs and be dishonest and not have sexual activity outside of legal marriage. And so one of the things last week that I was doing is I was looking for other universities that might have a similar kind of a behavior code. And I was having a hard time finding them. I did not find something like that at Notre Dame, for instance. I didn't clearly address that. I did find a research paper that was done by a graduate student that found that hookups, meaning sexual activity, she defined them as sexual activity outside of marriage that's very brief, non-committal kind of a thing, was on par at Notre Dame with other state universities, for instance.
So, Bruce, is the question for Patrick is?
The question is, how does the Catholic Church look at sexual activity outside of marriage? Is it a big thing? Is it not so big?
Okay, Patrick?
I understand the question, Bruce. Thank you. Yes, I mean, going straight from the teachings of Jesus, the ideal of chastity is what the church teaches. And even looking at a woman with lust in your heart is, as Jesus said, tantamount to committing adultery with her. So the Catholic Church is clear that sexual activity outside of marriage is not permitted. And all people are called to chastity, both unmarried and married. And in marriage, there is a chastity also that would preclude things like hedonism and lust and that sort of thing. But before marriage, the church teaches no sexual activity. Now, there is a problem that I'd like to identify, Bruce, and that is that there are countless quote-unquote Catholic institutions that, for a variety of reasons, pay no attention to what the Catholic Church actually teaches. They flout the teachings of the church, the teachings of the Holy Bible, and they do so at their own spiritual peril, but they do so. And many of them, I think, have sort of bowed to the pressures of the world and have accepted and made policies that are that conform more or less with a kind of general view in the world that sexual activity with whomever you want, whenever you want, however you want is okay. And that's deeply unfortunate because it scandalizes people like you. It scandalizes people who are, I mean, scandalizes in general. But someone like yourself, Bruce, you're a Latter-day Saint, and you're looking at the Catholic Church and wondering, well, what does it teach? And when you see, on the one hand, the church's teachings about sexual ethics being very clear, but on the other hand, you see actual Catholics, including institutions that call themselves Catholic, who don't live up to that. That's what sets up the scandal and the confusion. And I want to add one little proviso here. I'm not saying that Catholics are perfect. We're far from perfect. We are sinners. And Catholics routinely fall into, not all Catholics, and maybe not even most Catholics, but some Catholics fall into sexual sin on a regular basis. That's why we have a sacrament of confession. So we can pick ourselves up. Really, God's the one who does that. And he dusts us off and he gets us back in the right direction again with his grace. So by my comments, I'm not like pointing a finger out there and saying, look at all those terrible sinners. What I'm saying is that the truth upholds the ideal that Jesus Christ calls us to. And for whatever reason, individual Catholics, we're all sinners, individual Catholics fall short of that goal. So I hope you see that kind of balance between the church's teaching versus in any given case, how well or how poorly any Catholic may live up to that teaching. Does that make sense?
It does. I was disappointed at the level, if the research paper is right, of the students at Notre Dame. Are there other Catholic institutions that come closer to the goal?
Yes, there are. Thankfully, there are. Let me suggest to you an organization called the Cardinal Newman Society, N-E-W-M-A-N, the Cardinal Newman Society. Their website is cardinalnewmansociety.org. And they're not the arbiters of who is holy and who is not, nor do they seek to be. But they do compile every year a list of the Catholic colleges and universities that are faithful, at least ostensibly faithful, to the teachings of the church. And so they compile this list. It's called the Newman Guide, that will give you the figures, the facts, the dates, so that you can, if you were a Catholic parent, have a more informed choice about where to send a son or daughter to college. Now, this is not foolproof, and it doesn't mean that every single college listed here is as pure as the wind-driven snow in terms of the students that are involved. But at least the institutions themselves are committed publicly to trying to inculcate and promote this Catholic teaching on sexual ethics. The students, of course, they're going to have greater or lesser degrees of success. But at least these are higher institutions that really take that seriously and make a strong effort, similar to BYU, to have that lived out among the students.
Bruce, thanks so much. I hope that was helpful to you. We got to move on. We go to Emily in Odessa, Missouri, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Emily. Your question for Patrick.
Yeah, I am a Protestant, biblical Christian, and my question is about adult learning in the Catholic Church why does it take so long? I keep forgetting the name, what you guys call it.
RCIA?
But, yeah. But I've been having issues trying. I think you have to go to a local parish. I have been looking for a way to do that without going to a local parish because I might not like what's going on in my local parish, and there are other places to go.
Right.
If there's online school or...
There are. As a matter of fact, Emily, I'm happy to hear that you're interested in the Catholic Church. I would get in touch with the Augustine Institute. They have a great website. It's called formed.org, formed with the D at the end, formed.org. And this is a website that caters to people just like yourself who are interested in knowing what it takes, doctrinally speaking, you know, to become a Catholic. And there are videos and written resources there. I would strongly encourage you to take a look at that. Also, the Augustine Institute has a great program called Symbolon, from the Greek word symbolon, which refers to the creed, what it is that Catholics believe. And it's a DVD-based series that goes through all the major things. And you could study that either with a group or you could study it on your own. Unfortunately, some parishes, the RCIA program, that stands for Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. That's just a fancy term for the inquiry classes that people go through on their way into the Catholic Church. And it's a good thing, actually. Sometimes they're not as good as they could be. Other parishes have really good programs. So some of these supplemental programs like formed.org and also the Symbolon series can be very useful. But I want to mention one thing. The Catholic Church is wise to have a course of formation before entering into the Catholic Church in a way similar to if you were going to get married. You would probably want to get to know that guy for a while. You'd probably want to maybe spend 6 months or a year, maybe more in some cases, to really get to know him, get to know his family. You know, what are his opinions about handling money and raising children and all kinds of other things before you take that decisive step until death do us part. And in the same kind of way, the Catholic Church wants to make very sure that catechumens, people, men and women who are coming into the church, are carefully catechized so that they understand the teachings of the church and they're prepared for it, as opposed to just sort of hurling them into it without any real preparation. There's a lot of wisdom in that process of careful preparation leading up to their entrance into the church.
Emily, your response?
I was wanting him to form.org, if he could spell that for me.
Sure. It's formed, F-O-R-M-E-D, .org. So as if you went to school and got formed intellectually, formed.org. And the other resource that's also available from the St. Augustine Institute is called Symbolon, S-Y-M-B-O-L-O-N. And that's a Greek term. It refers to the creed, you know, what we believe as Catholics. That, too, is a very helpful resource, as well as, dare I say it, the Catholic Answers website, Catholic.com. How can we leave that out?
Dare say it, Patrick, dare. Emily, you know what? I'm thinking I should probably send you a book, Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic. If you'd like that book, hang on the line. We'll get your address, and we'll send you that book out as well.
Sure.
Emily, thanks very much for the call. Patrick, the hours go so quickly when you're on. It's a shocker. I think we probably got time, if we go quick, to get one more question. You want to give it a try?
Sure. All right, sure, let's do it.
Brandon in Illinois, listening on 88.5. Brandon, I'm really sorry for this, but we're short of time. So your question quickly for Patrick?
Yeah, my question is, what is a Catholic? I mean, I'm Mormon, but what does the Catholic Church believe as far as personal revelation?
Do you mean personal revelation since the time of the closing of the canon of the New Testament? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as Mormon, we believe that, you know, we can pray, like, if we have a problem, we can pray and receive personal guidance.
I'll have to interrupt you to give an answer. We don't believe in the same thing. We believe that God does guide and instruct us, and he can give private revelation, but it would not be binding on the church as such. So if you pray to the Lord for guidance, we believe that God will give you that guidance, but it wouldn't rise to the level of divine revelation like the Bible.
Brandon, thanks so much. You really did go quickly there. I appreciate it. Patrick Madrid, the website for the event this summer in Anaheim, it's reallovereallife.com. Is that correct?
That's right. Reallovereallife.com. Everyone's invited. Take it out or check it out.
And if you want to know more about Patrick Madrid, just go to patrickmadrid.com and all kinds of good stuff there. Patrick, thank you very much again for another great hour.
Thank you, Si. God bless you.
And you as well. Next up, Rose Sweet's going to be here. Rose is going to talk about myths that we Catholics hold about divorce and annulment. If you have questions about divorce and annulment, Rose is the person to ask. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We'll continue with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.